Hi friends, welcome to this week's episode of You Can Rest Here. These are the conversations you have always wanted to have, except this time, with a lot of biblical truth, laughter, beautiful and maybe uncomfortable silences, all leading to an increased awareness of the presence of God. Finally, we shall learn a rhythm of rest in a restless world. My name is Mazino Malaka. You can rest here. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode here at You Can Rest. Oh, I should have done something where you walk in to the episode. I'm like, guess who my guest is? Guess who? And then you're already sitting. Anyways, guess who I'm not on the sofa with? I'm laying on the bed with. applause.
I'm back, guys.
She's back. Wow. Okay, you're not the first, second time guest, sadly. I had somebody else on
first. That's okay.
But you're the second time guest. Yay. Welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like so much has changed since the last time we recorded an episode.
Girl, I think for both of us as well. Like, it feels like so long ago.
I feel like I'm a brand new human being.
Same.
And it's been, what, a year?
Is it even up to a year yet?
I think we recorded... February or March last year. So it's not even up to a year. And I feel like my entire life has changed. And so has yours.
Yeah.
What has stayed the same? Your love for me?
Yeah.
Woo! Your love for love?
Mm-hmm. My love for God?
Ah, amen.
My love for family?
Amen.
And also I think that like majority of my hopes and dreams are largely still the same.
Still the same.
Yeah.
I love that. So how are you resting in this season of your life?
I'm not gonna lie, it's actually a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like just... being able to rest. Like, I think that for the first time, I was trying to explain to my assistant, I think, because we shot something on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was telling her that I don't know if this is what people, or if this is as close as, like, to the motherhood brain as I could get this stage in my life, because I'm at a stage where I feel like so many things require my attention. So the fact that it is draining, it is tedious, and I am struggling to actually find rest. So I'm kind of at a place now where, like, I start a thought, and I think halfway through, another thought overrides it. And it's not even like compulsive or negative or blah blah blah. It's just things that I have to do. Like, you can be thinking about this and be like, ah, I forgot to respond to this person. Oh, I've not submitted this. Oh, I've not done this. So it's me planning a lot of, and I am like, there's just so much that needs to be done 100%. Right about now. Yeah. Like, I think that people even think, oh, the bulk of all of it is the wedding planning. And yes, there's that. But then there's so many other things. There's work-related
100%.
Things.
Life doesn't stop just because you're getting married.
Listen, there are things that are actually also now going on a personal level that don't also have anything necessarily to do with the wedding. But they require and demand my attention in a way that... So... I'm not going to lie. I think I'm really just struggling a bit with rest. I also, like, at a point, I remember, like, I started wondering, like, God forbid, though. Also, is this, like, do I have ADHD? I can't focus, man. Even, like, when I'm praying, I have to be...
Wandering thoughts.
Yes, like, the thoughts are so intrusive. Yeah. And, like, I'm praying about something, and then, like, something else. So, it's a lot. But I also know that it's a phase.
Yeah.
And that it will come and go.
It will definitely end. And I think what I want you to do now is... tell yourself what you can do to enter into more rest. What would you advise yourself?
I think, honestly, it will probably... one thing that will help me a lot is maybe managing my time better. But I think that I'm also, like, low-key feeling at that. So I also sometimes I fantasize of just all I could get if I could actually just get done, if I could... wake up by 5:30 or 6 and be alert.
What time do you get up, actually?
Girl,
I don't think I've ever asked you this.
Well, on a good day, 8 a.m.
Okay.
On a not so good day, 10:30 to 11. Like, I get up. Like, no. Like, I'm serious. Like, 10:30, 11.
Yeah.
That's when I'll get up. And then what now happens is I wake up and I actually now have to scramble and rush through the day. Because if I had woken up earlier, I feel like I would be able to pace myself in a way that is like a bit more sane.
I guess the most difficult thing is when you are the one who has to manage your time and nobody is going to supervise you for you. You know, like most times it's easy when it's like, okay, I have to be at my job at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. So I know I'll wake up at 6, mm-hmm. I'll bath, mm-hmm. I'll get to the car, mm-hmm. I'll drive. Mm-hmm. But like, if you like, don't get up. Mm. And nobody's going to ask you anything.
No. No, the deadlines still have to be met. All those things still have to happen. And what you're now doing is just kind of winging it. Damage and it's also control. One of those weird things where even the night before, you know.
And you dread the day.
If you're able to sleep earlier, it helps.
Yeah.
But then most of the time, you also don't sleep earlier.
100%.
So it's just stuff like that. So we'll say I will overcome.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline.
Discipline, waking up earlier, and to do that, to sleep
earlier. Yeah.
So I'm going to hold you accountable to that because I think it's...
You also hold Mr. Man accountable because I feel like he's part of some of my problems.
No, he is. Because I don't want to blame him here. I already know that he is actually
listen,
the reason.
Listen, let me tell you. Before I met this man, I used to sleep by 9 a.m. 9 p.m. Sorry, did I just say 9 a.m.? Before I met him, I used to sleep by 9 p.m. And one of the first conversations, I was like, what? 9 p.m.?
Look how marriage changes.
I don't understand.
People.
Like, 9 p.m. at your big age. That's it, too. Even like, because now we actually spend a lot of like time together, like physically. Even when we were not, like, because before we started like dating properly, we actually were doing this whole like long distance getting to know for about 2 to 3 months. And from the day I started talking to him, my time for everything changed because like I'd have to wait for him to get back from work, do stuff, and we'll be on the phone till like 12 a.m.
That's why they say love is sacrifice.
Listen, I have not slept since 2022. When? Yeah, 2022. Okay.
You want to marry this 2022. You walk down the aisle to this individual, so it's all over. So now even like looking at what you've described, I think for me as your friend, I love how you're being loved. You know, I... Sometimes you hope and pray that the people you love will be loved by somebody too.
Yeah.
But when God actually does it and you see it with your eyes, it's like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just grateful.
You know, the funny thing is that you're the second person saying that on camera recently. Because I did a video with my sister, which is going to come out in March. I don't even want to spoil it, but it's so funny because this was like something she was really stressing on at a point in the video.
Like for me, I feel like you're safe. You know, I feel like when we met, of course there was a lot going on with you medically, right? But even still, I was very worried about you dealing with everything you were.
And adding, being
alone.
Stressed,
Oh, yeah. Like I was, so... When he came into the picture, for me, it was like, hallelujah. Like, I was just over the moon because not only it's not just a random person coming into your life, but somebody I can be like, I trust Dimma in the hands of this person. Yeah. Like, I trust you not just to take care of her physically and all these things. No, I trust you that even her emotions are being guarded by you. So this is a huge difference from when we sat down in Godiva and we're going through all the many, many men.
That's why I said this. Like that like it feels like a very long time ago.
Oh yeah, but it's not even that far ago.
Well, you know, the thing again for me is that it just also emphasizes how far away God can throw things from you, so that
you can't even see.
Sometimes
it.
You can't. You're struggling to remember the feeling.
If somebody told you in 2022 that we would be sat here, you know, talking about your soon-to-be wedding event, you're already married, anyways. Mm-hmm. In case anybody didn't know that, you would never believe. And I think what I really want people to get out of this is there are loads of narratives about love, right? Mm-hmm. There are loads of messages about love, especially from a woman desiring to be loved mm-hmm. and to be in a healthy relationship, mm-hmm. there's a lot people have to say, right? But mm-hmm. I think maybe why some people might feel restless in their life presently is because their next adventure is with somebody. Yeah. And the next period of their life is not supposed to be spent by themselves.
Yeah.
And I think we don't realize that we do it, but we shame women who say that they're tired of being single. We make them feel like, no, there's more to your life. Just do life. Mm-hmm. Do life by yourself. Mm-hmm. Get to know yourself better. How much of getting to know myself do I need to do? Will it ever feel enough? How about you honor the fact that a woman is saying to you that, hey, I've spent enough time by myself, mm-hmm. with myself, I love myself, mm-hmm. and I feel like where I'm about to go, mm-hmm. I need somebody else on that journey with me.
And that's 100%. So I think that just maybe to add to that, or the way I would say it is that one thing I would say, because to be honest, with the way my channel is set up and all of that, every time I do Q&As, I have a lot of young women who reach out to me.
Yeah.
So it's me also knowing certain things, but also acknowledging fully the type of society that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
So you could feel certain things, but then again, my whole thing is be true to yourself.
100%.
Because I feel like when you feel like it's time to accommodate another individual, you always know.
Yeah,
the yearning is there.
100%.
And for me, what is the hill that I will sit on is at least acknowledge it to yourself.
Yes.
Say, I am ready for this.
Yes.
There is nothing about it that makes you weak. And
yes.
And for your immediate loved ones, you know, you can say, oh, I'm open, or I am like ready. Or 100%. If you have someone, let me know. Like, there really isn't anything. Because what I'd say that I don't understand is you not even wanting to like validate vocalize it to others.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But then I also understand that sometimes it could be a very slippery slope, right? Yeah. Where like, you also don't want to come across as maybe
desperate.
Because even aside from what we've said, I don't even think that men on their own also like it when like you reek of desperation.
100%.
It just maybe gives off the fact that you're ready to do anything in order to get what you want.
And I guess with that, then typically come, you will experience the counterfeit of the real thing,
mm-hmm.
because your heart is so open.
Exactly.
But I guess because of where we've come from, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of, neither of us were like dying on the hill of like, please. Yeah,
and that's the two of us. And I think it's because I think you know yourself, right?
100%.
And then if you're also grounded in God. For me, like, I didn't... I think that I felt ready, and I've said this more than once. I've said this a couple of times on my channel as well. I did not think that dating, like, or even having, like, see, it was just before I turned 30 that I remember, like, praying. I was like, okay, God, I feel like I'm finally at the place where I can accommodate someone else.
Person.
And I feel like I can accommodate the person to the point of making, because it's not even about dating. If you want to meet someone, but you're not in a place where you can actually make room for another person, what's the point?
There's no point.
So I got to that point and I was like, okay, I am ready for this. And I started also maybe going out and being maybe a bit more intentional about
mm-hmm.
it. But I'm also a very big advocate of, you can acknowledge these things and want it, but also be active doing 100%. Other things. Because for me, and it's so funny because I had this conversation with somebody recently, and I remember that I answered it like, so I was like, if there was one thing that I knew for as like, I think even as an early adult, is that marriage or meeting someone who you share your life with is one of those things that there really is no recipe or any format that guarantees 100%. You success. A lot of it is grace. A lot of it is luck. I don't even want to say luck, because as a Christian, I would say grace.
It's just grace.
A lot of it is grace. And
the only thing, that's why marriage, dating to marriage and marriage in itself is faith. Like, there's nothing you can do to be certain of what you're entering into.
I agree. And that's the reason why you cannot get very definite answers.
100%.
Or say, oh, this is if you do this, 1 + 1 = 2. Or so, because it's how I've always seen it, I've always known that if I am to even get a certain level of success, if I am the only thing I feel, or the only way where I feel like I could get peace and find myself in a situation where I know that I get all, if not most of what I want is if I bring God to into the center of all of it. Because he's the only one that would weave the thread in a way that he connects you and says, this is where this person is and this is what this person needs. And you pray and like, and honestly, and I'm saying this as a believer, you pray and for it, like, and when it begins to all fall into place, you cannot, even the way me and my partner met, you cannot convince me.
No, you can't.
You can't convince me that God did not play a role. 100%. Even at the time in my life when he came going, I was so sure that I did not have time for any of this. But it's not like I hadn't been praying. Like, I think the year leading up to that, and irrespective of all I was going through, I was like, even as I was praying in my mind, I was like, okay, God, I'm not expecting to grant this now because I'm low-key not even ready for it now, you know? But when God is like, okay, I have found it and I think that this is the perfect
time. And when
time.
God says you're ready. You know, and I just don't feel like your desire for love equates to you being discontent with your life.
It doesn't.
I think it just means that, and why God being in the picture is so significant is that, for example, for me, right, I knew that where God is taking me to in my life, in my career, in my service to him, everything I do is service to God. So where God is taking me, I could not do it alone.
Yeah.
I needed somebody else.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why vision is so important in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You must have vision of why you are getting into a relationship with somebody in the first place.
And that yearning, if it's right, it's not, it's just like she said, it's not. So, because some people might be like, okay, what does the yearning feel like? Is it just no.
It's not loneliness.
It's not also just loneliness.
Yes.
It's you knowing that, okay, there's something that there's, I feel like another person can bring in now that will be very valuable
100%.
To me.
100%. It's like, it you see, scripture says that.
But it's not like without it at that point, you would die.
You'll die, no.
But you know that there's something that you're kind of anticipating and you're hoping for, that you know that if you get it now, it will elevate you.
You should be able to, even a relationship, you should be able to enter into a relationship and a year after that relationship, you look like a better person.
Yeah.
You've become a better person.
I agree.
Because you see, some people get married, right? And you see the pictures of them on their wedding day. And you can look at the person maybe a couple of months after, and they look like a shadow of themselves.
Yeah.
And it is both parties' responsibility to make sure that that person, the other person, I'm not talking physically, is ascending emotionally, is ascending spiritually, because you have now been given, it's almost like that person is an egg.
Yeah.
You're supposed to take care of them.
Yeah.
So what would you say prepared you for this moment in your life where you're like, okay, I'm ready to step into something deeper?
Honestly, for me, I would also just say that a lot of it was me just, it was me investing into my relationship with God as well.
100%.
Because I also think that there are certain things that you would not, it's you just leaning into the prompts that the Spirit gives you.
Yeah. And also just, like, being rooted in your identity.
Yeah, being rooted in your identity. Because if that is the center, and if God is the center and just core of everything, you begin to very much pay attention to the things that flow out of it, you know? So for me, I would just say that I started, so for me, because like, I used to get to this, I was at a point then where I used to think like, how do I know what is right? How do I know what is next? How do I know what I need to do? And then the way that God always works is that if there's some sort of pressing questions, he would always lead you to things that speak to you or give you clarity in that area. And I remember, like, you know, I started reading certain things, even devotionals at a point. And, you know, there are some people who can tell you that when God speaks to them, they hear it like as if somebody's talking to them. I know at least more than one person that it's like that for. And some of them I've known since we were very, very young, and they can hear God clearly. And for some people, it's so different because they'll tell you it's a very still, small voice. And then you just know. And then sometimes it's just peace. If there is, you're not sure what to do. And look, then it was like, let that be your guide. Let that be your compass when you get into a situation. So for me, even like when my partner came into the picture.
Your husband?
My husband.
Yes. Correction.
Came into the picture. It was me, like, and I was, like, if you come from where I came from, like, you're also trying, like, I can overthink, and I'm also trying to be very, very hyper aware, you know, where we come, we don't want nobody to take you for idiot, you're just, like, eyes wide open, like, and, but then I think that at the core of all of that was just peace.
Yeah.
And you took a lot of things in stride, too. Yeah. Like, at the center of it is just, like, there's a feeling that I had not had prior. And it's so funny because I had also known him before then. You know this. This time around,
it was different.
It was different because you know that this level of certainty. And it doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect, though. And that this person checks off all the boxes, or that he's, like, the model man.
Yeah.
No, not really. But you know
what, that I love about the fact that you guys had met before is that you could see that this, there were holes in this person that were now like filled when you met him this other time. And I love the fact that then you could be able to be like, okay, this is great, but this is not necessarily what I want. Some people don't have the courage to do that because it's like, oh, let me just settle for this. It's fine. And not that it's settling like in terms of, oh, this person is awful. It's just that there are certain things I feel like we can both mature in certain ways.
Yeah.
So let's excuse ourselves from the situation and enter into a deeper level of maturity. I'm telling you, if you guys got married then, it would have been so
different. Please, excuse me, because it is something I state to him.
Yes.
I'm not saying it that I was perfect at the time as well. I had to do a lot of learning. There are things that I know that me now, or the me of 2021, 2022, would have handled way differently now than like the years before.
Exactly.
So I agree with you, the right person, wrong time. 100%. Sometimes both of you need to just go and
you just need to grow up. Like, you literally just say, okay, pause. I love you. I think there's something here. But let me go and do some growing.
And some people sometimes they'll be like, they need you to give. Because I even remember then when it didn't work out, like some people expected me to say
why
something,
but you couldn't communicate,
like, say very big things. But if there weren't any necessarily, like, there were small things there. It's not like there was no reason whatsoever, but there were not big things that and some people were like, so because of this, do you understand?
And I love that you didn't give in. That's what I'm getting at, is that I think what prepared you for this moment in your life is that you never settled. That's what I think. Like, for me, I feel like I knew I had matured enough to be in a relationship with somebody, like, even to be on the journey to being married, when marriage for me wasn't, again, out of, like, loneliness, desperation, when I no longer even craved it. There became a time where I was so satisfied in myself that it was almost like God having to beg me. My daughter, don't you want? Don't you think that it's time? And I'll just be there like, God, I beg. I'm enjoying me and you. Because one thing I had to understand after my past relationship, which was 5 years long, right? I had to get to a point where I was comfortable with being by myself.
Honestly.
And I had to get to a point where I knew that I was God's bride, meaning I was precious. The Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. The moment I grasped that, I was like, wait, so can't just settle for just anything. But then now I knew I was ready when God now was the one provoking me to start thinking about dating. Telling me, and
if you're not ready, me, I'm ready for you. So
jazz up. Catch up. Exactly. So it almost felt like I was playing catch up with what God was doing, as opposed to me forcing his hand and say, oh yeah,
it's time to marry. God, let's go. But now it was like he was leading me. He was shepherding me. I read Psalm 23 again this morning and I was just like, God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I feel like every time I've let God lead me, especially in this relationship that I've let God lead me, I haven't had to want because I'm in his will.
See, that is always for me the real life manifestation in every situation that goes like that, where it's like more than you ask, think, or imagine. Because what always comes, like, it's always like a bright, like, aha moment is always like, you thought you had dreams. They were just very minuscule compared to what God could actually give you in the midst of all of this. And I think that that is so, so important. And I think that the other opposite of what I like, no, I won't say that it's what you find always, but I think that most of the time at the opposite of what Maz has described is fear. It's fear of loneliness, it's fear of what society would say, it is fear of pressure. And when you get to this place where you're so relaxed and you're so comfortable, like even if people are trying to shame you for it, actually, like, there is also a way, because I read a book, Get Your Hopes Up, actually, by Joyce Meyer. It wasn't a devotional or anything, but it was one of the first books I read this year, where you cannot say that you have faith and you're hopeful if you're not at rest.
That's right.
Anything, like, it's not, you can go and tell other people that's your business, but 100%. If within you, because how are you hopeful and how are you faithful if you do not have peace?
Yes.
Like, if you do not, you're not resting in the fact that I have a God who will give me everything I want and more, who will show up and show up. It's not happening now. I know I cannot even see it in the horizon, but hope is very active. And when it's active, like, and faith is now, like, it's what finishes hope up, to be honest. But you cannot be at rest. And for you to be hopeful, you're at rest. Because a hopeless person, there's a way you move.
You lack clarity.
Yeah, you lack clarity. Like, there's fear in the center of all of that.
Like I feel like I got to a point where I was like, you know what, God? The kind of person I need, only you can make that type of man. Like, honestly, I'm not saying I'm the most complex individual, but my life has complexities, right? Like, and I'm a strong character. I was like, my mom would always say to me that, for somebody to love you is not hard, but for you to love somebody is hard. And why she would say that is because a big part of choosing to marry somebody is that you must respect him. I feel like for most of my life, I didn't respect men because I just felt like what you're showing me is not something I can cast my crown at. What you're showing me is what a toddler can be doing. So when I finally saw somebody that I'm like, eh? Okay. I was like, you know what? Only God could have done this. Because in and of myself, I could not have, if you took me to a lab and you told me to create this man, I cannot have explained what I wanted, or rather what I needed. So faith is important because you have to believe that God is capable of providing you what is needed for your destiny.
For destiny. Not what is aesthetically pleasing.
No, not what is it. And if it is aesthetically pleasing, fantastic. But what is needed for you to complete the will of God on this earth?
Yeah.
That's what you need. That's what you need to start praying for. And I think I want to challenge some people, right? Oftentimes, what you need to complete the will of God for your life is not what you think you need. Oftentimes, the kind of man that you think you're looking at, wow, mesmerized, you don't know that that man could bring you hell. Marriage is after giving your life to Christ, is the most important decision you could ever make. It can make you, or it can completely destroy your life. So, when you say, how do I know that I'm ready to start considering being married? Find out if God is ready. That is the simple metric. Don't evaluate yourself and say, you know what? I have a certain amount of money in my bank account. I have a job now. I have, a flat that I live in. I feel like it's time. Mm-mm. You don't get married because you feel like it's time. You get married because God is telling you that it is time. Or else you can do something out of time and you have regret and pain that comes with it. Mm. Timing is everything. But now, how do you know that a person is right for you?
I think peace. Mm. For me, honestly, that, because she just said metric, for me,
yeah,
that was it.
And again, we're now talking, because you know, some people be feeling peace in a mess. It's the truth. There are people who are in chaotic relationships who convince themselves. So you have to understand what God's idea of peace is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Peace doesn't now mean that there's a storm around the relationship. Maybe something is going on with the other person, or everything is not looking straightforward. You will now remove your hand and say, God, there's no peace here. Peace is also not your idea of peace, that because you are a strong person that can weather nonsense, a man can just be doing nonsense and you can weather. That's not peace. No.
So for me, I feel like largely I have like very serious love languages, yeah, like, or the core ones. And I think that even if those were not the ones he used, like that were ideal for him receiving love, he made sure that he spoke to me in my own love languages, yeah, right? So there's that. But then for me is that, like I said, nobody's perfect.
Nope.
Let me tell you guys where the other piece, or for me, one, because when you even say peace, like when she broke it down like that, it made complete sense. Mm. Is when there is conflict, when there is unmet expectations, amen, when there are just different things going on,
what do we do?
Like, what does this other person do?
Yes.
How invested are they in making sure that you people come out of that situation, yes, quicker and faster?
Yes.
You know, how proactive are they when it, yes, comes to the things that concern you? And let me tell you, like I said, people are not perfect.
At all.
They have issues. They will come with, and you people will have differences. If you have a 100%. Strong personality as a woman, and let us say the other person also has like a strong personality as well, like both of you can be coconut heads, mm-hmm, but when you're also dealing with somebody and you know that there is no calculated anything, like there's no intent, yeah, like it's not a deep calculated thing, yeah, for them, like I will show you shege. They can stand firm on maybe what they believe in the midst of whatever like back and forth or conflict you people have going on. But just know that it was never their intention to hurt you. And when you're with someone who you know is not going out of their way,
yes,
to show you shege, like I said, or to keep scores or to prove a point, somebody who is constantly trying to prove a point, yes, you will know. And 100%. For me, when I say peace, it kind of also stems from just how you see certain situations play out for the both of you.
Yes.
It gives you an understanding. When you're looking at it, no matter how unhappy you are, but you also know that this is going like this because of, yeah, this, and it's not calculated.
And I think, you know, even this peace thing that you're saying, why peace is so significant, right, is that when you have peace, it's a sign that God is there, one.
Yep.
And when you have peace, what that means is that even when the relationship is enduring storms, like, you know, Jesus was sleeping in the boat, right? All the disciples, wake up, there's a storm, mm-hmm, everything is going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was asleep in the boat. Why? Because peace is not dependent on your circumstances. Because there are a lot of people who they are called to be married and everything looks stormy.
Mm-hmm.
But because God is there, that's what gives you peace.
Yes, so
because you know God is there.
Actually,
if there was a storm in that boat and God was not there, they are in that boat by themselves.
Yep.
They better have been shouting and calling all the heavens.
Yep.
But the only way to have peace in a relationship is as long as you know God is there. That even gives you the ability to fight for that relationship,
mm-hmm,
when issues come, because they will come, right? I feel like love is one of the greatest risks known to mankind.
Yeah.
It is so risky to vulnerably give your... I remember like early on dating, I'll be telling him some things. I'm like, why am I telling you this?
All these things, yeah.
Why am I... And it felt like, literally feels like there's a knot in my stomach. Like, I want to vomit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll be like, yeah, I don't want to talk again. Like, mm-hmm. please, it's like, okay.
Why did you even have this rubber diarrhea? You know what I mean?
Sometimes he'll ask me questions like, why did you feel this way? Is there something... And because he's deep, this bro, is there something... There was a day I was like, oh, I had a nightmare where I was in my childhood home. He's like, what about your childhood home? Like, made you feel like this? I'm just like, bro, can we chill? And for like 2 hours, he did not allow me to leave that room until I spoke about that thing, right? Like, it is so significant to be with someone who is where God is. It's very important. Or else, if someone is not where God is, they will take you out of the will of God for your life and you'll just be left in a mess, right? So again, this marriage thing is not a joke. I know we love as a society. We love seeing people walk down the aisle. But I even want to provoke us. The moment you hear somebody is getting married, it should not be oohs and ahs. Pray for them. Because if there's anything that the devil hates in this life, is marriage. Forget it too. He doesn't hate your business like he hates marriage. You can be in the business and he's happy, oh, because that business is potentially keeping you away from ever entering into that thing that he wants you to enter into. When you see somebody, now you've seen Dimas is getting married, what you should be doing is to pray for her. I'm telling you, as Christians, now I'm talking, you guys know what we do on this podcast. What you should be doing is to cover this person in prayers. Not to wonder, where's her husband from? What is his work? What does he do? No, we need to change our mindset as a society. Yeah. Like when you got engaged and that in it, whatever platform, I don't even want to give them clout, right? When they put up the thing saying, oh... famous spinster finally gets married. I was sorry, living. I wanted to fight on the internet. I never want to fight on the internet. I saw it. I was like, how can you call somebody about to enter into a covenant? All you can think of is that they're a spinster and that, oh, it took them a long time to be married.
Leave me alone. I can't come and be stressing over. And I remember then people sent me those, like this particular post that Maz is referring to.
I actually wish you didn't send it to me. I was just like, what? Because
my man, I'm like, what? Anyways, please. Really, moving on to other things that they were talking about. I feel like there are things that ideally you don't want to expend energy on.
100%. 100%. So now, when it comes to like, social media, relationships, guarding it. So I'm going to tell you like what I think like about that. And it's when we got together, he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, our relationship will never be secret, but it will always be sacred, right? Because now we've established that the devil hates marriage. He hates Christian homes ever existing. Like it's a big issue for him. So how I feel like you've done a great job at just like curtailing certain things. People don't have access to your whole life, you know, and I think it's also a grace and it's wisdom. Because we now live in a society where I mean get your bags, as if like, you know, that's what it is to just like let anybody and everybody into your intimate relationship. But I also feel like it's very dangerous and the devil is sending us a lie that the only way to have true relevance, because of how much society loves love, is to promote your love online.
Or is to prove to people that
you're in love.
I don't need to prove nothing.
Yes.
To nobody. I even believe that low-key, like, I have very strong beliefs about this, as you already know. For me, is like, and it's so funny because this goes beyond even my actual relationship. Like,
your whole life.
If you're actually paying attention to me, like, I don't want to say that I know how to curate, but I look, you know how to curate, because I just feel like
it's a grace.
People who are like my loved ones, people who are very personal to me, like, I also don't think that not everything, because I feel like what people begin to do is that they begin to believe and convince themselves that they should have an opinion in everything.
Yes, significant.
Where people will
life.
Say stuff like, oh, it's not, you should let us in now. Like, we should also come. Like, why are you hiding it? And I'm like, bro, like, I don't, like, because I've seen people actually make type of remarks when, like, social media people are getting married and they'll be like, oh, we've been here following you since, so therefore, and I'm like,
I owe you my life.
Some people actually think about it like that. So for me, it's like, at the end of the day, I'll just say whatever feels comfortable to you.
That's it.
I know people who, when they're dating someone, like, they are very, very private about it. Mm-hmm. They don't share, you know. And for them, they have their own very, very specific reasons, which I understand. But then even so for me, the reason why I'm even saying is whatever you are comfortable with is that I remember, like, there's a babe I follow on social media. I remember they were dragging her because at a point she was dating someone and it became very obvious that she was no longer with the person. And then now she started dating this other person. And, you know, she was also posting, like, she was lovely. She's lovely.
She's in love.
Very openly. Yeah. And I remember people were coming for her at a point, like, you don't have shame. You don't want to hide this one. You want to come and start giving us explanation again now if something goes wrong, or acts like we didn't see all that before. And she was like, that's not how she's cut out. She's cut out to love and love in a certain way. And I get it, honestly, because when you're in love with someone, sometimes you want to
shout it on a rooftop, 100%.
And shout, I love this person. 100%. This person is so good to me and they deserve all the accolades. So anybody who has ever been in love will tell you that it's a very natural feeling that comes.
All she does is talk about her spouse.
Who's that?
Oh my God, I'm like, you now.
See
this one. That's it.
I think that's not all
that's
she does.
That's what I hear from I morning hear her, to
I
night.
Hear, I hear.
That's all I hear.
Her,
I love him.
I love him.
Don't mind this babe.
She's actually here cracking
you
jokes.
You guys.
Now. But if you hear her talking too. Oh, the other day, how I went with this. Oh, I'm fasting. Oh, we're fasting. Me and him, we're fasting. This is how Maz talks, okay? But what I'm trying to explain to you is that.
You
is,
know me. Yeah. Is, don't mind this. Lady.
Because she's coming here acting all very dignified and serious and giving people very serious. No. Maz, like, every two sentences, you can be with her. Where are you going? Maz is walking around. Oh, we're doing this from now. Maz, why are you walking around? I said, oh, no, I'm doing a competition. We have to get in this main steps with this person. This is Maz, okay? She'd be like, oh, I'm doing this model. We're keeping track, okay? Oh, you just got this. I need to catch up. This is Maz.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say is
let me finish what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that it's very, very normal.
It's normal.
It is a symptom.
Yes.
Of, like, a healthy relationship.
100%.
So for some people, you know, everybody feels like that, but then they're like, I need to kind of withhold this because of this and that and that. For some people, like, they don't
never got something because you are afraid.
All these other things people are talking about feels like restrictions.
Yeah.
And she was like, for her, the opposite of this thing she's doing that you people are trying to advise her to do because it's better. It is fear.
Yes.
For her, it was rooted in fear.
Yes.
It's rooted in fear of, okay, the relationship not working out.
Yeah.
It's rooted in the fear of see finish. It's rooted in the fear of a lot of, like, negative emotions.
100%.
And for her, she wants to always control, like, hold the narrative, control the narrative. If she, as a grown woman, ends up loving somebody this much and in 6 months' time, it doesn't work out.
So
be it. She will move on to the next one.
100%. But I think people are built different. Just be led.
This is not something that they are very much into.
Just be led. Honestly, that is just the beyond how you might.
I think that's what I actually was trying to say. Feel good. Not like instant gratification or just put it here to pep people, blah, blah, blah. No.
I think for me, because I deal with human beings so often, right? I know how easy it is to envy something. Right. And it's not that I can curtail how somebody responds to my life, but there are certain things I try not to do to provoke certain things in a society that is already constantly like, my life is bad.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel deep envy. And it's not my fault that I'm not saying it's my fault, but I'm saying that I know it is there. As a society, envy is an emotion people don't like to accept, that they sometimes scroll online and jealousy is something they feel. So if there I can get a wisdom from God that will stop me from perpetuating a certain emotion in people, I will. Again, all of this is walking with the Holy Spirit and being like, Holy Spirit, is this too much or is this okay?
Yeah. So for Maz, like Maz is very...
I'm very empathetic.
Maz is very, very empathetic. Yeah. For me, I think that I resonate, like some of the things she said, I agree completely with, especially for like, yeah, people have bad mind. And honestly, you also like, if something is precious and sacred, and for me, this also goes beyond like even romantic relationships. Oh, yeah. Like there are things that, yeah, you know, just, but then again, like, do you know, like as somebody who has been online for as long as I have been, and this is the first time in my life where I actually, it was with him, was the first time that I actually even ever came out and said, I'm seeing someone.
Yeah.
It's not like before then I have been without male attention, but this, even before we got engaged, even before, it was the first time that I actually admitted that I was seeing someone. That's and funny. As I admitted it, I didn't now go and start fleshing it out and start saying plenty stories. 100%. But the thing is that I also didn't want to go out of my way to begin to hide certain aspects 100%, of my life.
100%, and you shouldn't.
Yeah, because the thing is that I'm also not like an extrovert. Like I spend a lot of time alone with very, very few people when I'm trying to socialize. And I knew that going forward, I would have to do a lot of social activities with him. And I didn't want to go out of my way to either hide the fact that I have done something or not just like, you know, finding upside down ways to share certain things.
Which is why I said sacred, not secret.
Yeah.
It's not a secret.
So for me, it's like with certain things, no matter how much you don't say, to the point where there's some things that you read that people write, or the way you see people interpret things that are so innocent and basic. This is outside of your relationships, and you'll be shocked as how did someone reach this conclusion? How did your mind go there? And the truth about it is that for me, envy and jealousy, they are a that like they reflect you and not me. Like the way you decide to feel about people who are doing certain things or what they are showing you, you should go and ask yourself why this thing bothers you as 100%. Much.
You know, but we also have a Pepe Dem generation.
Well,
who are like, let me do this.
I'm not
thing.
Even disputing it though.
There are people who genuinely.
I'm not disputing it because I've sat down with people who would tell you that they are doing this thing specifically for the gram. Ah, they go here. That is the sole purpose of it.
Yes.
Okay, I know that that exists.
Yes.
But then, please, I also don't think, because you will see somebody, they're not even doing much. Maybe they are just doing hair tutorials because God has blessed them with long hair.
Yes.
You will be surprised at the type of comments they get
your hair.
From people. Because they've just decided, okay, God has blessed me with this. And if I have something that is like this, let me use it to at least teach people or maybe share things that could possibly... No, that's not how people... So some people, they're interpreting all of that as you showing up.
We should not rest. Yeah.
So for me, 100%. These negative things, you can never...
You can't. But I think it's just important, like... You
be careful.
Be careful.
Too. Yeah.
Be wise.
Mm-hmm.
Have wisdom, because you already know, for me, when you already know what plagues a society, you will try not to feed it. There's a wisdom you'll receive in your delivery and in your the access you give people to your life. Now, if somebody was commenting nonsense on my spouse, so for me, I know that anger is an emotion that I will feel. So it's better, let me not even give you people access to do that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. For me, I say like...
Don't do it.
Come for me, come for my appearance, for something. I'm equipped. Like, I know. Yeah. Even if I haven't always been, like, life and experience have shown me how to handle things like that, right?
But
when it comes to my family, my loved ones, my friends, I cannot guarantee you that I will be cool, calm, and collected about it. And it is what drives my approach, like with this type of thing. Which that's why I completely understand what you're saying. Everything you've been saying so far, I get it. But
I understand. Just do whatever you are, you feel led to do, and whatever a few years down the line, you will not regret. What do you think has been your most toxic traits in relationships? What is something the Lord has had to deliver you from? I feel like I know.
No, you actually say what it is.
No, I'm not going to say
it. No, I'm not saying
it. No, I may be wrong. I don't want, I want you to say it.
No, actually, you may not be wrong. Say it.
No. I want.
Okay, we're going to be here until you say it. I'm going to close my eyes.
Would you say it's being argumentative?
Girl.
That's it.
Listen, right, because so. I feel like, for me, it's a lot of things leading, like, so it's not even being argumentative per se, but I would say, like, is so for me, it's life. It's also like birth order. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of things. Mm-hmm, it's upbringing. It's how I've just always been. Yeah. And I don't know how to wait around. Like, I don't know how to explain it for, like, certain, like, things. And I have a very much more direct approach.
Yeah, true.
When it comes to communicating certain things.
What do you think mine is?
You know, the funny thing is that I low-key, because I've also observed the two of you. I've also observed the two of you, like, low-key sometimes kind of go, like, I'm watching the back and forth.
Yeah.
And I'm watching, I say, see this one. Remember, and I'm like, see this one. I say, Maz thinks that it is me. So she would do certain things and come back. And the guy would be like, no, but, and you continue again. And I'm like,
You don't, let me give my own, because you don't know it. Listen, so my,
when she finishes, I will come back, but say it.
So genuinely, right, my toxic trait is acting like Superwoman and then feeling defeated after, because I don't feel seen.
This is literally,
I don't feel heard.
This is literally,
I don't feel loved.
This is literally the, you know, WhatsApp group
when
of
I
what I was
could,
trying to describe that I witnessed.
When I could easily have just been like, hey, I need help. Hey, I'm not doing okay. But instead, I'll carry myself. I'm like, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. I had to learn effective communication, especially with how I feel. Like, I feel like for a long time, I didn't know how to articulate myself. And some people are like, when you grow up, you should know how to articulate how you feel and express. I only started learning true communication in this relationship. So, do you feel like you have a second? Because I definitely do. I like this question, I really thought about it.
Okay, really? Hard. Okay, so do I have a second?
Is there anything that, like, you feel like this relationship has forced you to be better at or to learn?
I think that it's also taught me forgiveness too, really quickly. It's taught me to forgive a lot quicker. And even when you feel like, because there are things that I'll be like, oh, I like to come and talk about. Like in the beginning, 2 days I'll be like, I can't believe you did this. Like, I can't believe you did this. And then now,
don't do it again.
It's like a walk in the park. Yeah. Like, we'll just like,
okay, run, shake it off.
You'll be like, and he's also like one of those people like, he doesn't like it when, you know, the funny thing is,
doesn't like to fight.
He doesn't.
It's so important then, to know the character of the person that you're with, because you can vouch for them even when they act out of character. Because, like, sometimes I'm just like, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. I know how you might be responding right now, but I know you. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, I would say, like, the second thing I've had to learn is that whenever I get upset, I just go quiet. Like, I don't, again, expressive communication, I just go quiet. And in marriage counseling, we learned something that, like, has changed my life. So they talk about the rhino and the hedgehog. And I guess some of you can listen to this and find out where you are. So a rhino just charges. I know is that the rhino may pause, mm-hmm. but the rhino knows how to, like, if there's an issue, they know how to tackle that issue.
Yeah.
Whereas the hedgehog, will see the issue and curl into themselves. Yeah. That's me. I will just be, I was so afraid of negative emotions. I don't know where I got it from. I have some ideas, but so afraid of negative emotions that if I sense myself getting angry, mm-hmm. I'd be like, stop. You can't get angry. Mm-hmm. Or if I saw anger in another person, which, again, anger is a very normal emotion.
Yeah.
It's how you respond to anger that's the issue.
It's a problem. Mm-hmm.
So these two animals help to illustrate two inappropriate ways to respond, because the rhino charges and then I, the hedgehog, I'm not the hedgehog again in Jesus' name, but will curl into themselves. But what they don't realize is, if you know anything about hedgehogs, they have spikes. Mm-hmm. So you protecting yourself,
you're also poking
when
the person
comes to check on you, you're hurting them.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about your love?
How safe it is, I say. Yeah. It's how safe and how protected. Like, when you also understand that somebody takes care, like, I think that for the first time ever in my life,
somebody other than you is taking care of you.
There's that. Mm. But there's nothing. If I go out now, I have a flat tire. Yes. Outside of your street.
100%.
It's not my flat tire.
It's ours.
It's our flat tire.
I feel like I love our friendship. One, like, that's my best friend.
Love it.
And I think
she's actually her best friend.
Oh no, he's my best friend. Like, you could leave me in an island with him, and like, as long as we have food and water, like, I'm good, and a Bible, like, I'm actually fine. So I think I love that. And I would say the second thing is just, I didn't think it was possible to be with somebody who could pull me up higher, like, spiritually, who would force me to love God more.
And if people know who Maz is, that is actually,
it's a big thing.
It's an achievement.
It's a huge
that
thing.
Somebody actually is pulling Maz higher. Where Maz is pulling all of us higher. Somebody's pulling her higher.
I never thought. Honestly, I never thought I would find somebody that, like, provokes me to know more about theology, about God, about, like, sometimes he tells me things about the word. I'm like, bro, I've read this passage 500 times. Where did you get that from? Like, he loves God. And I know that the only way he's capable of loving me and the depth at which he loves me is because of that love. What would you say as, like, what would you tell anybody entering into a relationship and hoping that it leads to marriage? What is one piece of advice you would give them?
I'd say pray before, like, as the things, as it starts rearing its head, as there is approach, as there is communication.
At that point.
At that point, not after.
Not after, because your emotions are already in the way.
Not after you've given your time and energy and everything to it. Like, because for me, I had to pray too. Like, she was saying, like, I explained, like, around the time that my partner came, like, I was in no shape or form, mentally or otherwise, like, ready to accommodate someone. Yeah. And I remember, I'll never forget, like, my friend and my sister, they like, it was like a two-way call, and they were like, what are you doing here? It's not like you're not necessarily happy. I understand that you're struggling, but do you understand? At least open yourself up to talking. Like, I'm trying to explain to you that I was praying, but then I also even had people convince me to just, like, do you understand? You know, whatever, I just give it. I was like, because my whole fear was, like, I was in a place that I felt so vulnerable
that you didn't need another,
like, I didn't need another. But then I was praying, you know, I was praying, and I remember, like, you would know, like, as time, I'd be like, God help me, God show me if this is something I have to put my time to. And on a daily basis and gradually, you would keep seeing, like, 100%. Answers to that.
I would say, one, judge no man according to the flesh. Don't look at somebody and base your decision off of, I will marry them according to their flesh, according to what you see. Make sure that you investigate in the spiritual realm with God, in the word of God, whether this person, as much as they might be right, are they right for you? So judge no man according to the flesh. And now, secondly, I would say, accept nothing whilst dating that you will not tolerate married. Anything you accept whilst you are dating, best believe you will accept it.
And you have to be borderline aggressive.
You have to be aggressive
about it.
Like,
you have to. Please don't look at me pulling my ear.
No. Anything you cannot accept when you are unmarried, make sure you just cut it there, because you'll be forced to tolerate it in marriage. Okay, peeps. We love you guys. We love your love, if it exists, and if it doesn't, we pray that, you know, you find love, or maybe you're like Paul, who's supposed to spend your life single. Who knows? But I want you all to believe and know that marriage is beautiful. And I pray that your marriage will be evidence of that. In Jesus' name, and mine
amen.
Too.
Yours too. Amen.